All right. We're going to talk about duties of dads, his importance and responsibilities in the home. And interesting how we had the discussion about ladies and wives here earlier. So then you husbands, future fathers, don't feel left out. And I didn't even plan that first one. It got planned for me. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And you shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hands. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I mean, we could really go on and continue to read. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Anyway, so he goes on, he's explaining this. He's explaining what they're supposed to teach their children. I mean, we could go on with this, but really it's not necessary at this time. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us, dear God, to grasp this truth. Lord, this is, nobody wants to preach about dad anymore, about the home. Fathers are looked down upon and made fun of and mocked. And Lord, that's the rebellion of society. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that God's people would be strong in this and understand their responsibilities in the home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I called this series Timeless Truths for the Home. And I've added that. I started that last week with that. And I'm going to continue to preach through there, Lord willing. So many men think that things of religion are meant for women or for the wife, as if it's not manly. But we see here that the warriors of God were commanded to train their children and their sons to know the God of the Bible. They must know him and keep his commandments. The man is the head of the home, and therefore he is responsible before God for the spiritual development of the home. So we're going to go through that and see what all the responsibilities, the responsibility and the importance of the father in the home cannot be overlooked and has been way too much. Number one, the father is responsible for setting the example for his family. As is the husband, he's responsible for setting the example for the home. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 18, please. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 18. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you. Of course, he's talking to Israel there. But the principle to teach the children are there. That you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish mine anger against them in the wilderness. What happened? The fathers were to set the examples. And what example did they set? Rebellion. Rebellion against God. It is their responsibility as a father to be a good example, and to be an example of the walk with Christ that they need. But they rebelled against God, and the lost children and lost their children as a result of that. Our example to our children is very important. Very important. Never overlook your example. Never overlook the fact that people are watching, children are watching. Never overlook how vitally important it is that other little ones are watching your every move very closely. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 15, please. Verse number 25. 1 Kings 15, 25. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. The example we set is extremely important, and we should never minimize it. We should never think that our actions and our example as a man in the home, that it doesn't have an impact. It does have an impact. And they watch it, and they see it, and they will mimic it, and they will copy it. Number two, the father's relationship with mom is very important. How you treat your wife. As a father and a husband, how you treat your wife is very important to the children. They're watching. What you allow mom to do and not correct her has a great impact on the children. But a father should have a sacrificial love for his wife. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. What does it say here? It says that a man is supposed to have a sacrificial love for his wife, and it's supposed to show, and it ought to be seen by the children. They ought to be able to see that. The children should know how much that their dad loves mom. How much he holds all that she does in love. Everything that she does for the family, they ought to know and understand that the father is appreciative of that. A warm affection for his wife. I'm telling you, if you think that you can go through your marriage with your children and not show proper affection to your wife in front of the children, I mean, you ought to be hugging your wife. You ought to be holding her hand. You ought to be kissing her. They ought to see that. They ought to see that natural affection is there. It ought to be part of it. If it is not part of it, you are failing your children. You're going to raise people that look at marriage as some kind of business proposal. Say, well, I'm just not that affectionate person. Well, you better get that way. Amen. Right. I guarantee you were on the night you got married. Right? So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Go back and listen to the sermon, Chasing Your Chaste Wife. Go listen to that. You'll figure out what happened. Amen. Amen. Even if you don't say it, I'll say it because I know it's true. Think you can walk around and have some kind of cold relationship with your wife and it's not going to have an impact on your children? They don't see that warm affection and love one for another, that it's not going to impact your family or your children? It will. And a father's love for the mother, it has to be evident and has to be seen in front of the children. They need to see dad loving mom. That's proper biblical affection. They should see dad kiss mom. Dad help mom when she needs it. They need to see dad caring for mom. They ought to see a husband that lives joyfully with his wife. That's the next point. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Hope you're listening. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 9. Live joyfully verse number 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. John Trapp, I think it was, said, marry prudently, keep faithfully attached to the wife thou hast chosen, and rejoice in the labor of thy hands. You shouldn't have that mentality. You should live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. You shouldn't have that mentality of, there's the old lady. Is it? The old lady there. Or how about this one? The old ball and chain. It is. The old ball and chain. Gotta go home to the old ball and chain. The old that one too, the old battle axe. Nothing makes you feel more loved than to be called the old ball and chain and battle axe. I've heard people say, I got to go, the old lady's mad at me if I ever get home. Right? You've heard that, Brother Finney? Yeah. You got any other good ones? You look like you have one back there. Just yeah. Yeah, it's just wicked. But that's not the mentality that a marriage should be. You shouldn't be talking like that. Like a ball and chain, as if a wife is some kind of hindrance to your life. No, she's to be your helpmeet. She's one flesh with you. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. That's wicked talk, though, to talk like that, and it should not be said. That's not a loving relationship. A wife is not a ball and chain, but one flesh. You're missing rib. Marriage should not be looked on as holding you back from reaching your goals. If that's the case, you're a selfish, wicked person. And you have the wrong goals. Right? You are joint heirs of the inheritance and should never look at one another as a burden to bear, but love to share. That if a man has a wife whom he ought to love as himself, as his own flesh, to take delight in her company, be pleasant with her, and rejoice in her. As Proverbs 5:18 says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And this here may be put forth of all pleasure and satisfaction which may be lawfully had in the enjoyment of all other relations and friends, which adds no small part to the comfort of a man's life. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. That's how the home is supposed to be. Rejoicing. It should be a sweet, loving relationship. Your children ought to see that. If, as a father, they need to see a sweet, loving relationship with their mother. Not bitter, envying, and strife. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You're to honor her in her weakness and in her strengths and in all her duties. Your relationship with mom impacts the children. How they see is how your daughter will be treated by a man. How you are is the way that a man is the type of man that she will choose. She will choose a man. If you're a man that's an effeminate Ahab, that's indecisive, that cannot make decisions, that cannot do that, then guess what? She's going to find a man like that. She's going to marry a man like that. If you're a man that doesn't treat your wife right and is bitter against her and treats her poorly, treats her as some kind of slave in the house, doesn't treat her with love and dignity and respect, then guess what happens? Your son will grow to treat a woman that way. He'll just see a woman as a way to please himself, and that's it. Somebody to serve him, not someone to love and care for. The children will see if you think you can be a good father but treat mom poorly and not have a proper affection for her and have no love between you and just raise the kids and you get by, you're mistaken. You better start thinking about how often am I affectionate with my wife? I'm not talking about the marriage bed. I'm talking about just affection. How often do I hold her hand? How often does she sit in my lap? How often do I have my arm around her? How often am I doing that? Well, we don't do those kind of things. Well, then you're wrong. Let me make it easy for you. Then you're wrong. How about that? You like that? Well, you won't like the next statement either, probably. But you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong not to do that. You're wrong not to be affectionate with your wife. And it will show, too. And it shows that your heart is distracted. Let me tell you something. People that have had a history when they were lost of being involved in pornography and everything else, and those type of things, they have a hard time being affectionate and getting close and loving the wife of their youth. But there's just something missing. What is it? It's inordinate affections. They were so used to inordinate affections that something in them just shuts off that ordinate affection. So they have to deal with that. And you have to practice good habits. I always think about this along these lines, and this may sound crazy to you, but, you know, even as you're in bed holding each other, I'm not talking about anything, you know, marriage bed type stuff. I'm just saying, even those things. Is it like it shouldn't be like this dividing line of like one's over there, one's over there. There's something. Yeah, like those. What'd you say? I don't know about that. What's that? Translate for the 30-year-olds and older. You know what he's talking about? I don't understand what he's saying. Is that like when, I remember when I watched TV, like when I was a kid, they had separate beds. Is that what you're talking about? No, okay. But they had that because they couldn't show two people in bed together. Boy, we've gone a long way away from that. But the point is that I want you, those kind of things are things you ought to think about as a husband and a wife. Like, okay, I mean, are we kindly affectioned one toward another? Are we close? Or are we just like farther away? I mean, where's my affection at? Is my affection, not to say that you don't have any affection if you don't do that. I'm saying it ought to be something that ought to, yeah, okay, wait a minute now. Let me think about this. You know? The children will see a relationship that is void of rejoicing and love, and they will grow up and seek out a man or a woman, and as soon as some affection is showed, they will jump on it as the real thing. As soon as some attention is shown their way, man, they're ready to get married and run off. Why? Well, because some real affection was shown, and they're so shocked they've never seen it. Yeah. Or they'll go the other way, and they'll be cold like that, too, and think that's normal. Well, it's normal not to be affectionate. No, it's not. It's really weird not to be. It's really weird when you love somebody that you're not that close to them. Yeah. It's a problem with inordinate affection. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be dealt with. So these are the kind of things that you don't really hear very much of. Pastors don't really preach on these things very much. Because most of their wives are probably the same way. There's a problem there, and they're not dealing with it. They haven't dealt with it themselves yet. And it's not popular, and it doesn't put you on a circuit to preach at different churches because there's a bunch of cold Jezebels in those churches. And if that preacher came in and preached on that, woo! Like I said, church I used to be part of, they have a big ladies' day. Man, I'll come in and preach it one time. Some people would get right with God. Some of them would get right with God. The other ones would have spears to my head and escort me out the door. Never overlook, you know, your children will become cold and callous and not loving. That's dangerous. Dangerous. We're going to get into children. We're getting there, but we're not there. Number three, there's an importance of dad's relationship with the children. Dad should look at the children as a gift from God. Not an expense. Genesis chapter 33, verse number 5. Turn there, Genesis 33, verse 5. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the woman, the women and the children, and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." You know, it used to be, and in those cultures, and it still is today, but it used to be that people looked at children as a very wonderful experience. That it was just a blessing. It was something to rejoice over, the fact that someone had a child. All right, we're going to get to that. Psalms 127, turn there, please. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I'm going to preach one sermon on that, so I'm not going to really double down on that today. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. They're a blessing, not a curse. It's like the public school lady said to me, "Well, that's quite a, how's it going? That's quite a undertaking." Yeah. By the way, if you want a war against the devil and Antichrist, raise a godly seed. Yeah. Build an army. Be a part of helping others. You want a war against the devil, that's what you have to do. But you should be seeing children as a heritage of the Lord, a gift from God. Not, "Oh no, we're not planning that." When did God ever tell you you had the right to plan anything? You can plan. Yeah, Planned Parenthood told you that. Uh-oh. There's a lot. Like I said, are we really against abortion when I preach that sermon on birth control? Are we really against abortion? Right? Because we think that, well, we can plan it. We could plan it. If it's not planned, then it was an accident or something. Really? So you get to tell God when he blesses you? So you get to be God? That's dangerous, isn't it? It's dangerous for you to believe that you can be God. Yeah, it's very dangerous. Yeah, don't ever fall for the devil's trap and taking birth control. Don't put those chemicals in your body. You may never have children again. Don't do that. Don't play games. Don't play God. You'll lose. You ought to look at them as what God gave you, children that the Lord gave you. We should never look at children as a hindrance or as an expense, but as a blessing from God. "Well, I don't know if we can afford it." Afford what? Afford a blessing? You can't afford not to get a blessing from God. Never complain about blessings. You just got to believe God that he'll provide for you. How is it that people don't believe that today? Well, you know, I had one guy tell me, one Ruckmanite tell me, he's a pastor over in a missionary pastor over in, where is it? Peru. He said, yeah, he told me, he said, that be fruitful and multiply was another dispensation. God doesn't want you to do that now. There's enough people around. There's enough people around. You don't want all those kids around. I had some homosexual guy wrote me one day, and he was messaging me. He was harassing me, basically. And he was like, "Do you really think you need all those kids?" Stuff like that. And he's like asking me all these questions about the world and all this stuff. And I was like, that's a lie. And he's going through all this stuff, and I'm trying to reason with him a little bit. And he's really upset. You know, or he's really mocking, you know, having all these, I mean, don't you, He goes, don't you want to go have fun? You can't do that with all those kids. He goes, don't you want to go to like go to the football game or something?
No.
No. Don't you want to like go to a hockey game or something and go have some fun instead of having kids to take care? I mean, it was satanic. It's like it's wicked. It's a wicked mentality. It's like instead of having those kids around. Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, wow, this is wicked. But this is how independent fundamental Baptist pastors teach their people not to have children. Well, you don't need too many now. You can, you know, you need to take, you know, you need to wait before you have children. You need to wait to get to know each other for a little while before you have children. Mm-hmm. Before you marry him. Yeah, exactly. It does sound a lot like that, doesn't it? But that's how I've heard pastors teach it. They say, well, you need to get to know each other for a little while. Why? Is that what they did in the Bible? They got to know each other for a little while. When God, you know, when you have a baby, when God gives you one, that's what happens. That's when you have one. When God gives you one, and you don't play God. And guess what? When you're done having babies, God will show you you're done. Why is that bad to just trust God? Why is that so foreign today to people? It's because they don't have any faith. So they've taken on satanic principles of birth control. Because they don't believe God. All right, next. You are also commanded to correct your children as a father. And that's a very important part of your relationship. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 17. Turn there, please. Proverbs 29, 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Deliver his soul from hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Now, when you understand, this is not talking about how we use the modern word beat. Talking about biblical discipline, right? Where the good Lord split you, right there. Amen. That's what it's talking about. Plain and simple. Right? No, that's right. Not the face, not smacking people around, not any of those things. But biblical discipline. A father has a responsibility to discipline in all areas of correction and instruction. And it's vitally important that a father disciplines his children and corrects them when needed. It's important that he corrects them without provoking them to wrath. I like what one preacher said, avoid all severity. Listen very closely. He says avoid all severity. What does he mean by that? Being abusive. Should never be abusive. It's wicked. This will hurt your own souls, he said, and do them no good. On the contrary, if disciplined with severity or cruelty, they will be only hardened and made desperate in their sins. Cruel parents generally have bad children. He who corrects his children according to God and reason will feel every blow on his own heart more sensibly than his children feels it on his body. Parents are called to correct, not to punish, their children. Those who punish them do it from the principle of revenge. Those who correct them do it from a principle of affectionate concern. See the difference? I mean, we can use those words interchangeably, obviously punish and all that. But the point is that it's correction. It's biblical correction. That's what it is. It shouldn't be revenge because you made me mad. Or you upset me, or you inconvenienced me, or you embarrassed me. Right? That's not distress. That's not correction. I could go on this, but we'll talk about fathers provoke not your children to wrath sometime in the future, and we'll deal with some of those things. Next, dad is responsible for the spiritual welfare of the home. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. It is important that he trains his children. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Your job as dad is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to grow them in their most holy faith. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Dad has a responsibility for bringing his children to church and to teach them to worship God. Teach them to worship the Lord. Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 12, please. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. By the way, this is the principle for integrated churches as well. I had somebody send me an email and said, you know, I keep hearing these children crying in the background. And I'm just wondering if, like, you could do something with them. And because it's, you know, it's kind of loud and distracting. Yeah. Everywhere, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I said to him, well, I'm sorry, we don't hide our children. And, you know, yeah. It's like it doesn't, I mean, everybody here is fine. They can hear okay. Right? That mindset is really disturbing. But welcome to fundamentalism. Because God can't possibly work if children are crying. Oh, I think you get the message very clearly. Yeah, that's right. I don't think any of you have a problem hearing what's being said. I don't think out of the hundreds and hundreds of emails that I receive of people that are happy or angry have a problem understanding or hearing or listening to what's being said. By the way, that's not natural affection right there. So to that person that wrote that, get right with God. Go listen to the sermons I preached on integrated services. I don't know which one that was. I can't even remember, but I know I preached on it one time. I don't know when it was. I don't remember. Maybe it was in there. I don't know. I'm going to have to preach it again, I guess, if I can't remember it. It's been that long. It's time to do it again. Deuteronomy 31, verse number 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children. What? Now Moses. Can you do something with the kids? Get the children out of here, Moses. Can you do something with the children, Moses? Deacons? Aaron, smack them with the rod. Do something with these children. Please, Aaron. Put them somewhere. Right? Children time, yeah. Oh, I told them that. I said, and the nursery is just for that. Nursing babies. That's what it's for. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Amen. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as ye live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. This is the importance of dad to teach his children to worship the Lord, to attend the house of God faithfully. If you skip out for sports or for work on Sunday constantly, then you are derelict in your duty to the Lord. I've watched that in fundamental churches. deacons and their sons taking off for sporting events. Yeah. Football's on. Got to keep going, preacher. Let's get it done. Yeah. Dad is responsible for bringing the children to Christ. That's the next thing. You have a responsibility. Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Yeah, but Jesus, these children are distracting the service. Jesus, these children are distracting things. Go away, children. You're a nuisance. Go away. You're making noises. You're making sounds. You're acting like children. Stop it. Seems pretty plain, doesn't it? Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. That's right, that's not sprinkling. There's no baby baptism in that. See that, Brother Scott? No water in there. At all. Bring your children to Christ. It's important for dad to do that. You bring them to the house of God, you bring them to Christ. Amen? Next, dad is responsible for the material welfare of the children. Dad is commanded to provide for his children. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 14, behold, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. It says that we're to lay up for them. Amen? He is to provide for his sons and his daughters. In Job chapter 42, verse number 15, the Bible says that in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Yeah. Amen. This means that mom stays a keeper at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed, that dad is the provider for mom and the children, and he is the savior of the physical body of the mom and the children. The Bible says, he that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. 42:15. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So the Bible is very clear that dad needs to keep mom at home to raise the children. That's his duty. That's his responsibility, to keep mom at home raising children. Amen. Guiding the home. Next, the father must be responsible for protecting the family against sin. It is a father's responsibility that he protect the family against sin. He should protect his own family against intemperance. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Keep the liquor out of the home. Stay away from social drinkers. Sipping saints, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Father should never drink liquor and should always keep children from liquor and its wicked influences. He should protect his family against an unequal yoke. You be careful about your family spending too much time in unequally yoking together with unbelievers. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. We see this principle of not being unequally yoked. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Listen, dad's role in the home is it's very important in keeping his family separate from sin. You need to make sure that your family is not involved and having close relationships with unbelievers. That your family is hanging out with unbelievers all the time. That they're having undue influence on your family. That they're continuing to have that influence on them. That destructive influences are not allowed. Why? Because there's no separation there. Okay, and then with that lack of separation comes trouble. With that lack of separation comes sin. He must keep his family free from sinful entanglements. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. He needs to make sure that the home is flushed of wicked things. He needs to make sure he does an inspection to make sure what anything that's being watched, books that are being read, everything else, that it's clean, and it's right, and it's proper. It's his duty as the head of the home. They didn't go to the woman. They went to Achan, didn't they? Now the whole family suffered. But Achan is who they went to. They first went to the head of the house, the head of the tribe, head of the house, and then they all got all the way down to Achan. They went to the man. God will hold you responsible, man. He must keep his family free from those entanglements. It's important that dad protects the family from divorce. He needs to do his best to do that. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Dad must do all he can do to help to keep his marriage strong and free from divorce. Doesn't mean that if that wife's not going to obey and not going to follow him, there's nothing he can do about it. But the point is that he needs to do all that he can do within his power to keep that. All right? What God has allowed him to do. But after that, there's nothing he can do. All right? Dad must do all he can do to keep his marriage strong and free from divorce. Amen? Next and last, it's important that dad is honored in the home. This is one of the things that is very important that I don't believe is done. He should be honored as the head of the home. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says in verse number 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." That headship of the home ought to be honored. He should be honored. Amen? He should be honored by his children. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That's right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 33, says that he should be reverenced in the home. Ephesians 5:33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." That reverence is a godly fear. It's a love and respect, but it's a godly fear for the husband, right? It's that fear of God. All right, which means that I obey him and I follow his order. Reverence is that respect and honor that's to be given. That's what the Bible says. That's the way it should be in the home. The father's wishes, as they are according, as is fit and right in the Lord, should be followed. Even if you don't like it. Especially if you don't like it. Should be honored. Listen, because this world hates biblical manhood. It absolutely hates it. Everywhere I go, wherever it is, and I'm walking out on this street or I'm at a store, wherever I'm at, I can see they absolutely hate biblical manhood. There is a hatred for it. There is an absolute hatred for biblical manhood. And you know what? Among independent fundamental Baptists, there is a hate for biblical manhood. Because you have churches full of Jezebel women that want to be bossy wives that are pushing their husbands around for equality. I had a guy send me something. We were talking about Christmas and a few other things online, and we got into the husband and the wife. He said, "Are you telling me you'd buy a car without your wife?" Yeah. Yeah. I did. I bought it with Dave. You would do that without agreeing with her on it? Or you guys are, you're equal. No, we're not. No, we're not equal. Where'd you hear that at? And if you don't, you know, if you don't like that, you might be a Jezebel. You might be a Jezebel. Male or female, by the way. Pick your poison. I don't care. But you might just be. If you have a problem with that, you can't submit to a husband. Yeah, that's right. In their eyes, they believe that you're identical. That's really what they mean, is identical. That's what they mean. They believe that you're identical. No, they're not. One is the head and one is the body. One is the leader and one is the follower. But I've always been taught, I don't care what you've been taught, you've been taught wrong. And that's why fundamentalism as a system has emboldened women to be bossy. And that's why they get mad at preaching like this. And that's why they don't want to hear preaching like this. Because they want to continue on in their arrogance and their boldness against the truth. So in the home, the father ought to be honored. Absolutely honored in the home. And if that's not going on, then you're wrong. He should be reverenced, the Bible says. But men have been totally feminized and ridiculed and made to look worthless and barbaric. Made to look like some knuckle-dragging Neanderthals. Because they're made to look worthless. Because they choose to be real men and stand up and lead. So, oh, you're sexist. I don't care about your stupid little titles you give. You can call me whatever you want. I really don't care. It don't bother me if it makes you mad. I'm not in junior high anymore. I don't live my life caring about what you think in order for me to do right. I just do right. And I realize it makes a lot of women mad. And it also keeps a lot of women out of here, too, by the way. And a lot of men that their wives won't let them come to this church. Yeah, their wives won't let them come here. Mm-hmm. Their wives won't let them come here. Because they don't like, that's the first thing. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that preaching. I don't know if I can handle that. Well, you can't handle it. I know. I already know that. So your husband, he's submitting to you. You know, let me explain to you how I liken this. I once had this dog, and I really loved this dog. I did. It was the only dog I've ever really loved. Sorry, kids. It was my dog. I mean, anyway, it was really weird because I was staying with my brother and I had this dog, and then there was this cat there, and the cat was like the alpha, right? And my dog, who was supposed to be this like dog, you know, I walk in the room and the cat is chasing the dog and the dog is like running with his tail between his legs. And I'm like, what's going on here? I was getting mad. I'm like, that dog, eat that thing. What's the matter with you? Eat that stupid cat. One chomp, bite his head off right now. That's what it looks like when women run men. They're running around, and you know what? There's a common trait. Those Jezebels hate my guts. They don't want to hear that preaching. They make every excuse in the book for why this is a cult, why this is a wicked church, why that pastor's wrong. Oh, he's doing this, he's doing that. None of them have any substance, but you know what they have in common? They're a bunch of loudmouth, bold Jezebels that hate bold manhood. They hate preaching the Word of God. They hate it straightforward, and they will not submit to the truth. And I'm going to tell you, that goes for the sneaky ones that talk behind my back, too. As if I don't know about that either. You better repent and get right with God if that's your spirit. Because God's going to deal with you. Yeah, swiftly. Because anytime a Jezebel wants to shut up a prophet... It's coming. Yeah, Jehu gets his chariot. That's right. I'm telling you, and it's a lot. It's because they don't want to honor real manhood today. It's hated. Oh man, that's terrible. You don't believe in equality? You don't believe your partners? No, I'm not gay. I don't have a partner. No, I have a wife and I'm a husband. And I lead. And that drives the people of this nation insane. Why? Because children are their oppressors and women rule over them. And that's why Ahab and Jezebel are headed for the White House. I got to deal with the elections real soon, so it's about time. I'm going to deal with it. Just lay it out there and be done with it. But yeah. But anyway, the point is that biblical manhood needs to be honored in the home. And you know what? I don't have time to go down that road because we need to stop. But I will tell you this, that we're going to deal with that in raising sons also. That mom doesn't feminize that son so he can't be a man. You know, that young man is not made to feel like there's something wrong with him being a man. And that you raise him like he's some little girl or something, and he can't be a man. You gotta watch that, because moms have a tendency that if you're not careful, they can become very imbalanced with that. And that boy gets completely restricted down to like, and it feminizes him. And if you want to see a boy rebel, if you want to see him do that, if you want to see him, then go ahead and treat him like he's some kind of girl and not understand the differences. So I'm going to try to help you with the differences. You're teaching to be some boy that's pushed around and kicked around. And then that causes resentment. It builds it up inside of him. We're going to talk about raising boys and raising girls, because I think it's very important that we make the distinctions. Maybe we'll just actually have some feminine women that come up and some masculine men that are bold for the Lord if we do that. We'll be a little part of changing a generation. Anyway. I'll cover this in some of these in another sermon called Honoring Father and Mother and what that means. Real man is despised and it needs to be honored today. And it's so important that our children see real manhood in the home, that they see a real biblical father in the home. They see a wife reverence and honor the husband, and that the children are made and taught to respect dad, and thereby respecting others. If a daughter doesn't learn to respect dad, she'll be a horrible wife. If she doesn't have a love for her father, she'll be a horrible mother and a horrible wife. And if a son doesn't see a mom honored in the home by a biblical man, that he's still a man, but he loves his wife, and he's affectionate, and he's kind, and he's soft, and he's gentle with her. If they don't see that, it'll harden them to women. That's right. Everywhere children go today, real manhood is hated. But in the home and in the church, it should be exalted and honored. This sermon just covers the general importance and responsibilities of a dad in the home. But can it be stressed too much today? I've got a few more sermons on this. A lot. I've got a lot to cover with you all. this year on this. But I hope it's a blessing to you, and I hope you follow the biblical instructions as you see them in the Word of God. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us as a Father in heaven, our perfect example of sacrifice and love. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to follow your Word, follow the truth of it. Lord, I pray you bless the fellowship today. Lord, we heard a lot of hard things earlier, even before this sermon, Lord, that need to be dealt with. And I pray that hearts would receive that. And Lord, also, we heard a lot of things about being a father, being the right father, the importance of being a good father in the home. Lord, I just pray you'd bless this time we have together, bless the fellowship, bless the food to our bodies, and bless the rest of this day as we serve you and live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.